Hey there, I'm Kenny.
And I'm Nell, and you're listening to
Just the Two of Us.
What is our intro?
I don't remember.
This is the Kenny and Nell.
I'm going to say, what do we normally do?
Welcome to the Kenny and Nell podcast. I'm Nell.
And as always, I'm Kenny.
And we are here today to talk about something that we love talking about.
Travel.
Yeah. But specifically, traveling without kids.
That is going to be the theme of the episode.
Yes, it is. But although we'll also talk about traveling with kids, because I feel like we've done our fair share of both.
Yeah, and honestly, at least one of the places on the list, which we're going to have at the end of the episode, is very much kid-friendly. So
yeah, so if you haven't gathered by now, we are going to do a list. We actually have picked our top four places to travel to without kids, of places that we've been to, and I would say vacation. So I guess we should say top four vacation destinations if you don't have kids with you.
Yeah, and to be fair here, we have mentioned in previous podcasts that this podcast, some months or some episodes, I should say, are going to sound mysteriously like a travel podcast. And
mysteriously, not mysteriously.
Not mysteriously. And this is one of them. So we promised it, and here it is.
So first thing that we really want to mention is that we've just done something very exciting. We have just booked something that we have never done before. You want to tell everybody?
Again, so we booked a cruise for 2022, so it's pretty much a year.
It's almost exactly a year to the day. It's actually a year tomorrow, so tomorrow's July 7th. We booked a cruise, a nine-night cruise. We're just jumping headfirst right into this. It's on Royal Caribbean, and where are we going? It's Bermuda, St. Martin.
Puerto Rico.
San Juan, Puerto Rico, and Labadee, Haiti.
Yeah.
So we've got quite a bit packed in there, but I feel like it's not too much. I think we are going to have a couple of good sea days, and then we've got the port days, of course. And we're just kind of learning all about this cruising stuff. We booked with friends that we've talked about on virtually every episode of our podcast, John and Aaron. Coincidentally, we're actually traveling with their son as well, our godson, Jack, who is 8 years old. So this is not going to be a without children vacation.
No, it's not. And it's interesting on a couple levels, because we have multiple friends that have talked to us about cruising that you've heard about on this podcast. And if you watch our YouTube channel, Kenny and Nell, check it out. Subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
So Jessica is also a big proponent of cruising and has spoken highly of it. John and Aaron, obviously. And to be fair, was a little bit out of our wheelhouse, because we're used to planning things and we kind of know what we're doing. We know how to plan. We know what to do.
We're used to like booking things with miles and using points for hotel stays. And this is something that it was from scratch. Like we don't have like Royal Caribbean points or anything. I don't know if they, I'm sure they have a program, but
they do. John and Aaron have.
Yeah. It's like I forget what it's called.
Yeah. I mean, we'll learn more of that. I mean, this is fresh.
Yeah.
This is like 2 days old at this
literally
point,
the lowest tiered status. I know they have status with Royal Caribbean, but we're just literally newbies.
But yeah, so we pretty much, John did all the legwork for the most part.
We call him Agent John.
Yeah, he has
Travel Agent John.
Has a tablet and all this stuff written down. But honestly, you know, it made it super easy. We're like, all right, let's do it. And next thing you know, half an hour later, we were booked for a cruise. So we're gonna jump in head first and kind of figure out all the excursions. And
yeah, originally we were going to, you know, step lightly into this and say, okay, let's take a 3-night cruise out of Miami to the Bahamas, you know, just to kind of get our feet wet. And, you know, I definitely think about the motion sickness thing, but I mean, I've been assured from many people that if you're on a ship that's huge, like the one we're gonna, I think it's the Adventure of the Seas is the one that we're gonna be on,
yeah,
that you'll never feel it, especially if you're inside, like in the promenade and the places in the interior of the ship,
especially if you're drinking.
I feel like you could feel more and not from the ship moving if you're drinking.
Yeah, that's possible. We had really tossed it back and forth. We had a really hard time deciding whether we wanted a window, a room with the window, which, you know, we discovered does not open, which I was a little disappointed by, or a balcony, which I think we really wanted. And we tossed it back and forth about saving a few bucks and getting the window. Ultimately decided to go with the balcony.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be a good choice. I mean, you're definitely the kind of, like, I'm going to wake up at 6 a.m. and go get coffee and sit out on the balcony type person while I sleep.
Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, unless you're going to get, unless you're getting up at 6 a.m. with me to get coffee.
She's negative.
She's more of the...
Not while I'm on vacation.
Yeah, she's more of the bring me back a cup of coffee while I'm still laying in bed type.
Yeah, I am the Kara to your Nate.
You are. Shameless plug for Karen Nate.
So, speaking of upcoming travels, we're going to backtrack a little bit to later this summer. So, you know, it's exciting because things are opening up. People are getting back out there. Obviously, you've heard news stories and things about how travel is really ramping up. Airlines are kind of having, they're struggling right now with staffing issues, just like everybody else is. And so we just kind of wanted to mention that we have a couple of trips coming up. We have a kidless adventure coming up in mid-August.
Yeah, middle of August.
Yeah, we're going to South Padre Island, Texas. And we're pretty excited. We're going with our friend Jessica. None of us have ever been there before. I know it's a huge spring break destination.
We are not spring breakers.
No, we're definitely not. This is also not the time of year for spring break, considering it's the dead of summer. So we're really looking forward to that. We've got some planned adventures coming up. There is a water park that is in the vicinity. I think it used to be called the Schlitterbahn, but they've changed the name now.
Yeah, it's attached to a hotel.
Yeah.
I believe, but I mean, that's certainly, I think, on the agenda.
I mean, you don't have to have kids to go to a water park. I am a giant kid. I love water parks.
Yeah, and there's a swim-up bar that we're...
Yes, exactly.
That we've heard about. So Jessica's going on this trip with us.
Yeah.
And one of the days on the trip, believe it might be Friday, is her birthday.
It's her birthday.
So she is planning the Friday festivities, so we kind of have to do whatever she wants to on that Friday, but the rest of the days we're going to...
Yeah,
you know.
It's cool. We're going to leave on a Wednesday and come back on a Sunday, so Wednesday is kind of a free-for-all. You know, you're just traveling, trying to get there, and you get settled in, and so we've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There's three of us going, so each of us gets to plan a day, which... I love doing that because, you know, I don't want to talk people into doing something the entire trip that maybe I want to do and nobody else does. We get to experience different things that different people want to do. And so that includes, you know, the day activity, the restaurant for dinner, that type of thing. So it's exciting because, you know, it's somebody's day that they planned for you.
Yeah, exactly. And so once we're on the other side of that trip, we have a much bigger trip planned for...
Well, in between there, I heard rumblings of a smaller weekend getaway to a place that I don't even know.
No, she doesn't. So
This
is just it's just going to be a long weekend thing. It's the end of August. We're going to be heading north, which we don't normally do.
No.
But this is the end of August is a pretty good time of year to be heading north.
Yeah.
You know, especially in August, I feel like you might even encounter a little bit cooler weather. Mm. I mean, I'm not sure we're not going that far.
A little less humidity.
Possibly. We're not going that far north that I think it's going to be a massive...
I know we're going to Connecticut.
Correct.
But that's all I know.
Yeah.
I've been told that there's something happening on Friday, there's something happening on Saturday, and I just all I know is you're going to Connecticut.
We are. We're going to Connecticut. Not saying anything else because it's a surprise.
Ooh. I'm excited for that. I love surprises. And yeah. So, but that, after that, then we do have a much bigger trip coming up in October. And I think we've mentioned this before.
Yeah. Towards the end of October.
Yeah. We are going to Hawaii. And we're really excited. My best friend growing up is getting married. So I'm in the wedding. And that is the first part of the trip. And then we've got some time to explore. The wedding is on Oahu. And I'm not going to say the name of the beach that they're getting married on properly. So I'm not even going to say it. But we're going to spend a lot of time in Waikiki Beach too. So I'm excited to check out the restaurants and just, the beach, obviously.
Yeah, we're going to, that's something as we get closer to, or maybe even afterwards, we're going to have a really long discussion about on either this podcast or on a YouTube video or maybe both.
Mm-hmm.
Because this trip, I don't want to say was made possible because we would be doing it anyway, but made very, very affordable.
Oh, yes.
By the use of miles and points. And really not going to believe, you know, how we were able to do this for very little money other than what we're going to spend while we're there.
Yeah. So in layman's terms, this trip to Hawaii was free.
For the most part.
Yeah. I mean, with the exception of the fact that we chose to upgrade our seats on the plane. But if we hadn't, if we just booked with miles and just booked our hotel with points, this entire trip to Hawaii would have been free.
Correct.
We hear that. No monies.
Right. So we are Hilton Honors members. The use of Hilton Honors American Express Aspire card, Surpass mm-hmm. card. Sorry,
oh, yeah, Surpass
card. During the pandemic, we were able to reach Diamond status without satisfying their stay requirements.
Right.
So we reached Diamond status, which gets you lots of perks.
Yeah. Well, they changed their point structure through the pandemic to meet the needs of people. So they basically upped the amount of points that you receive on grocery store purchases and things like that, rather than, you know, doing so many points on stays and anything else that would require you basically traveling. That was so smart on their part.
Oh.
Their American Express's point structure is, I love it. It's awesome. It's my favorite.
Yeah, compared to our other travel credit cards.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, really blows it out of the water. We did get a new card recently, so we'll see how that one compares.
Yeah.
But, you know, that card is,
been fantastic.
Amazing. And it allowed us to book, I mean, not just the spending, the welcome bonus that you get when you sign up for it. That allowed us to book an entire week in Hawaii at an Embassy Suites for free. Now you'll have some, you know, I think they do charge a few bucks a night for resort
there's
fees
like the
and
resort
things like
fees
that, $20 or something like that. But essentially, a free week at an Embassy Suites in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And a free flight on American Airlines.
Yeah, which we did that using the American Airlines Platinum card.
Yeah, city card.
The card's okay. I mean, obviously, it worked well enough for us to be able to do this, but the point structure isn't quite as user-friendly.
No, I mean, it's user-friendly. It's very user-friendly because there's no frills. It's a mile per dollar unless you're spending on American Airlines purchases.
Right, but that doesn't change for anything. Like, it didn't change during the pandemic when people weren't flying.
No.
Or anything like that. So it's incredibly hard to reach any sort of status. So you can not even think about lounge access or things like that.
Yeah. So we've been seeking out another card to add to our wallet for greater flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
And we just did that recently. So I think the American Airlines card is probably going to fall to the back of the wallet.
Yeah. Because you're pretty much, I mean, you're stuck with American Airlines. British Airways, I think, too.
Yeah.
Whatever One World partner airlines you can
right
get on using that card. But if you use something, so we just got the Chase Sapphire and they have a portal, like a Chase travel portal where you can, I think JetBlue is part of it, Delta.
And you can transfer points to their travel partners, which.
Yeah, but that's how you do all of this stuff. And speaking of that, I think we are actually going to do a vlog on how to plan a trip.
Yeah.
And how to do it. We're going to call it Travel Hacking Light.
It's been requested. So yeah. I think if you listen to the last podcast, you know, Lauren requested it. So
yeah.
We'll dabble into it a little bit. We are by no means experts.
No.
We've been doing the points thing now for several years, so we have a pretty good handle on it.
Yeah.
We use lots of resources. One of the great resources is the points guy.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if you've ever heard of him. So he has a website. They have an app now that they just launched. And as the name suggests, they do a lot of things with learning how to gain points, what best credit card to use,
mm-hmm.
how to best maximize your points. But not just that, lots of articles of, especially right now with countries reopening.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy how fast things are changing right now. And they have articles every single day about traveling to different destinations and
yeah.
What the requirements are, who's opening, who's not.
And the important part is that it's trusted. It's trusted information. It's
very trusted.
Yeah. I mean, whatever you read out there, I mean, speaking of requirements for countries, you know, right now especially, it's important to super check, double check all the requirements. I know that just going to Hawaii, things are changing all the time. They just opened back up to fully vaccinated travelers.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And, you know, so we're definitely just going to have to keep up to date on that, you know, as far as your testing requirements and things. So definitely rule number one when traveling right now, check the requirements for wherever you're going and wherever you're coming from, because you have to get back.
Right. And yeah, check the requirements. Give yourself extra time.
Absolutely.
There's lots of, you know, like everyone else, the airlines are struggling right now with staffing.
Yeah.
And
things are so backed up. I just had somebody was traveling this week to Las Vegas that we know, and she said that it was an absolute zoo, a nightmare at the airport.
Yeah. So you need to give yourself plenty of time, even if you're one of those people that, you know, likes to roll into the airport 45 minutes before your plane boards. Bad idea right now.
We're talking to you, Jessica.
get there. Give yourself some time. Give yourself, I mean, the airport experience for some people can be stressful enough. Some people just don't like the airport experience.
Yeah.
I happen to be the opposite. I like the airport experience. I like the flight experience. Some people, it's just a means to get where they're going, and mm-hmm. it's like a necessary evil. But don't cause yourself any undue stress. And if you have the ability to upgrade, do anything like that, to give yourself some sort of priority boarding, Southwest does that. You can
so
upgrade
recommended
to like priority boarding, which gets you, you know, basically guarantees you the overhead bin space, because we've been there with Southwest before we ended up sitting on the front of the plane and our luggage was on the back of the plane. So you had to wait for the entire plane to deplane.
Well, that whole situation was just a nightmare. We were on standby
for
that flight. We literally got the last couple of seats, and wherever our bags fit is where they went.
But if you can upgrade, you know, economically, I would do so. Get yourself priority boarding. Yeah. It just makes things a whole lot easier. And credit cards will do that if you have credit cards for a particular airline.
Yeah, our American Airlines card does allow us. It's not preferred. What do they call it? It's preferred boarding, not priority.
Yeah, it's preferred. So you'll board with group five, which is, you know, the first four groups are, you know, first class, business class, military, all that stuff. And then you have five is their preferred boarding is what they call it.
So it's like first in line for coach.
Right. And then basically six through nine then is just a free for all.
Yeah.
It's, you know, then you're fighting, but
it's all about that bin space.
It is all about the bin space, and you want the bin space near your seat, so it's not a giant pain in the butt.
I'm
going to
do a parody on Meghan Trainor's All About That Bass, and I'm going to do a song called All About That Bin Space.
Are you going to sing? Because we want people to listen to this podcast.
So anyway, let's get to what we wanted to talk about, which is our list of top four destinations to vacation without kids. All right. So this is actually in no particular order. What we did was we just chose four places that we have been, and we chose two international destinations and two domestic destinations. So pick your poison, basically.
Yeah.
All right. First on the list.
What's on the list first?
St. Martin in the Caribbean.
St. Martin is a trip that we could talk about till you got sick of hearing about it.
So here's the funny thing. When we went, we stayed at an all-inclusive resort.
Sonesta,
Maho Beach. But that resort that we stayed at is a family-friendly resort. However, next door to that is Sonesta Ocean Point, and that is an adults only. We weren't able to stay there. I think the bookings, like the time that we wanted to go, it wasn't available.
Yeah, they were booked.
Yeah. So, but we got to share the property for the most part. There are some restrictive areas that you couldn't go unless you were staying there. Mm-hmm. But where we stayed was in the Maho Village, which had, oh my gosh, that restaurant, Jack's, was fantastic. If you're in St. Martin and you're in Maho Village, go to Jack's and get the truffle angel pasta. You will thank us later.
It's an appetizer, but it comes out as like a whole plate of pasta.
Oh my gosh. It's a $30 appetizer. But it's literally worth your life.
Yeah, which is crazy. So yeah, even if you don't stay in Maho Village or near Maho Village, if you're over near, you know, Phillipsburg or something like that, or even if you're on the French side, we did venture over to the French side twice actually.
Yes.
Check out our YouTube channel. There is a series of four videos there from St. Martin. Three? Is it
three or
three?
Four?
I thought it was four. Anyway, there's three or four there. And, you know, we went there right before everything shut down for
literally
COVID.
The week before.
Yeah, we went there at the end of February in 2020.
Yeah.
As crazy as it was.
So close to the whole pandemic affecting travel situation that when we checked in for our flight home, everything was so backed up because they were checking everybody's passports to see if they had been to China in the last month. And I think I still have a sticker on the back that says, like, I'm okay, no China.
It was that was a kind of a crazy experience and one of the first moments of
we had no idea what was going on.
Where you realize that, oh, wow.
I think we flew back on a Friday, and that next Friday, the Princess Juliana Airport, they shut it down.
Yeah, so it was crazy. But yeah, so we stayed in Maho Village at the Sonesta. There's a bunch of shops.
Yeah. And Airplane Beach.
Airplane Beach, famously Sunset Beach Bar, which is right next to Airplane Beach. They have a surfboard with like the flight times and when the planes are, you know, coming in. But the real hidden gem is on the other side of Airplane Beach, a little bar called Driftwood's Boat Bar.
Yeah.
That is
so cool.
That's the hangout. That's the more local hangout.
Yeah.
Sunset is very
touristy. It's a tourist
trap. And, you know, they have, you know, the webcam is posted there and the whole nine yards. But
I mean, it's not saying nothing it's wrong not
with
good.
It. Nothing wrong with it. Had really good, had
good
some pizzas.
Pizza.
Yeah. I think we had some pizzas.
But Driftwood has good pizza too.
They do. They were crazy accommodating because you remember the one night we went there, we just like walked down the street and showed up and they were like closing down. Yeah. 'Cause it was like 9 o'clock or something like that. And the bar was closing down and we're, you know, apologized and we were going to get up. And as they were shutting the bar down and like cleaning up, they said, no, sit down. What do you want to drink? And they literally made us drinks while they were closing the bar down, which was insane.
Yeah, they were just so accommodating. And the vibe over there is just, it's smaller. It has a more local feel to it. I love it because everybody is out on Airplane Beach during the day and over at sunset, and it's crowded. And you get over to Driftwood, and it's like,
Yeah, it's really, really relaxing. But it was interesting, even at, getting back to the traveling with or without kids thing, even though the Sonesta, you know, the one that we stayed at was family friendly, there wasn't a ton of kids there.
No, there really wasn't.
And in that general area, including a casino that was right across the street from the resort, There really wasn't a lot that I would recommend that they had for kids, really. I mean,
no,
would
I mean,
you
well,
say there was
a whole, they had like a kids section.
Yeah, but I mean like off the resort, like able no, to like, because no. Mahu Village is very walkable.
Very much
very
so.
Walkable and safe.
There was another cute little late night spot that we went to go check out some live music at the one evening called A Hole in the Wall. And I mean, it was just your local bar and they had a local, I think it was a duet, like an acoustic set playing. And that was fun. But yeah, I felt completely safe the whole time. I think it's funny because we went to this all-inclusive resort, which of course means that your food and drinks are included. And 90% of the time we went off the resort for food and drinks.
That's the one thing we learned about St. Martin. If you don't take anything away from this podcast other than this fact, if you are going to St. Martin, do not stay at an all-inclusive. First off, there
Agreed.
Are very few.
Yeah, very
there few. There are very few. But do not stay at an all-inclusive because you are missing out on some really, really amazing food. And go to the French side. Get some French food. We did both, and the food was fantastic.
Well, they call it the culinary capital of the Caribbean.
And they
and
were
I,
correct.
I honestly, I was skeptical because, you know, I didn't know. And we went and literally still kicking myself to this day that we didn't just get an Airbnb and just go out and find. It was just fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
It was. Orient Bay, Jessica and I went parasailing, and I can't get that view out of my mind. Like, it was just absolutely gorgeous. It's just I'm not saying that you can't take kids and have fun, but
certainly could, I'm sure. And yeah. we weren't seeking that out because we were just four adults traveling.
Right.
But in what we encountered in the areas that we encountered them, it seemed like kids might be a little bored.
Yeah.
I would think.
I didn't see a whole lot because they don't have like water parks or anything like that. It definitely was, I would say, adult geared.
Sure.
You know, you could go to the distillery. Was it Toppers?
Toppers. Yeah, Toppers.
So, you know, there's things like that to do. Phillipsburg's where all of the cruise ships come in and there's a lot of shopping and stuff like that there. Simpson Bay is, we didn't get over there, but it's apparently phenomenal. But yeah, definitely St. Martin is a must go to.
Absolutely.
This will lead us into our last international destination for this list, which is
Breathless Punta Cana.
Yeah. So Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Breathless is an AM resort, and it is adults only.
It is. But there's a caveat to that also, which we can discuss later, getting into the kids or no kids situation. But keep going.
Right. Well, I was going to mention that Breathless is connected to another resort called Now Onyx, which I think they're actually turning into a Dreams.
That's done.
Oh, it's done.
So, yeah. So Dreams is another resort chain that's also owned by AM Resorts. They have they have a bunch.
We stayed at one in Costa Rica.
We did, which also was fantastic, but that's for another episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's called Dreams Onyx Punta Cana, and it is connected to Breathless.
Yeah, but that one, that Dreams, is a family resort
that they just added a water park to during the pandemic, I believe.
Yeah,
it just opened not too long ago. So they added a water park, and the cool thing about now, you'd have to do your research. I don't think if you stay at Breathless, you have access to the water park.
Yeah,
I think that's how they're playing that. But for the most part, you have access to both resorts, all the restaurants, no matter which one you stay at. So we've stayed several times.
Except the kids can't go over to
Correct.
The adults one.
Correct. So if you're traveling with kids and you're staying at the on the Dream side, you can't get over to Breathless because it's 18. You have to be 18,
right,
to be on the
And
grounds.
Trust me, the first time we went there, I see why you need to be 18. I mean, from literally the very second we walked in, we were traveling with a group, and let's just say the men in that group were very excited to be there.
Yes, Dustin, an awesome friend. We were there for about 5 minutes when he proclaimed that it was the best vacation of his life. So you can figure it out in your head what we were seeing when we first walked in. But I mean, all jokes aside, food's great.
I think it's good for an all-inclusive.
It's good for an all-inclusive. I mean, obviously, it doesn't compare to what we had in St. Martin.
But
it's not a fair. That's not a fair comparison.
No.
For an all-inclusive, food was great. The options were good.
Mm-hmm.
Many pools.
Yeah, many pools. They have foam parties.
In the party pool.
Swim-up bars.
Service, top-notch.
Oh, yeah. Especially out on the beach with Ricardo.
who we're still Facebook friends with.
Yeah. I mean, they would literally just set us up every day, have towels ready and chairs out for us, and we had some champagne and orange juice on the beach the one morning. It was just, I don't know, it was just great. It's a great experience.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're traveling and you're traveling without kids,
mm-hmm.
stay over on the Breathless side, go over to the Dream side to try at a couple of the restaurants. They got plenty of bars. Lobby bar is fun. Lobby bar was cool. We did that for like a happy hour every day, basically. We'd go there before, you know, later dinner, so we go hang out there. But, yeah, if you're traveling without children, stay over at the Breathless side.
Yes.
Really cool party atmosphere, but also plenty of space for you to get away from it.
Absolutely.
If you want to relax, and because you're not trying to party all the time unless you're 21.
Right.
Which we are not.
Nope.
So it's fun. We did foam parties and stuff, but then when you just wanted to chill and relax, there's plenty of pool areas to do that. Several swim-up bars. I think three.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're traveling with children, stay over on the other side. Stay on the Dream side.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of things for kids to do. Water park. And they have like a special kids zone too. So
if the parents want to have a little dinner over at the adult side, yeah, you can do that too.
Yeah, the AM resorts do a nice job of having a pretty good mix of resorts for, you know, your single travelers, your couples travelers, and your family travelers. So plenty, but if you're heading to Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic, which a lot of times of the Caribbean destinations is on the cheaper side when you're comparing it to other islands.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking to kind of dabble in that a little bit and you haven't been, consider Punta Cana.
Yeah.
Consider one of the AM resorts and check out Breathless and Dreams. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Nope, absolutely not. So that ends the international portion of this list. So we're going to move on to domestic, and this location is a location that we've been going to for a while. It is Clearwater Beach, Florida.
Yeah, it was kind of a hidden gem when we started going there.
Yeah, it's becoming
less so now.
Well, they've consistently won. I think it's either USA Today or Travelers.
I don't remember
conglomerate.
What publication it is.
Yeah, it constantly gets rated best beach in the United States.
Yeah, and it's a really, really awesome white sand beach.
Yeah, and clear
for
miles. Most part water.
for miles. Yeah, the water's great. And
it's on the Gulf side.
It is on the Gulf side. It's a great alternative that we found. If you're not listening to us from the Northeast in the United States, in the Northeast is you have all your beach towns in Jersey, Maryland, and two things happen. One, it gets crazy, crazy expensive because they have a very short window to make their money.
Right.
You know, because they're only what you're looking Memorial Day to Labor Day, basically.
Yeah,
so
for
they're
the most
making
part.
They're making all their money. They can get whatever they want to get.
Yeah.
The demand is very, very high. It's people, you can drive to it easily within 3-4 hours.
Well, people have been going there for years. It's family tradition. So you just go to Ocean City, Maryland every year, you know?
Right. Or, you know, Wildwood.
Right.
Ocean City, Maryland, you know, Cape May. We've been to Cape May many, many times. Cape May is great. But the problem with these places is it's really hard, especially in season, to try to do like a long weekend.
Yeah.
Because first off, they all want to book. They all want you to book a week stay.
Saturday to Saturday.
And if you can find somebody that's willing to book you a long weekend, the price is just astronomical.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So that's one of the reasons that we started going to Florida. I remember we were in Wildwood the one time, and your dad says, he's like, I don't know why more people just don't go to Florida in the summer. He said, it's a lot less crowded and, you know, all this stuff.
Now,
and
I will say, if you're going to Clearwater Beach in the summer, I'm telling you, June, July is like
it's hot.
Unbearable.
It's hot.
I would probably hold off until early fall.
Oh, if you can do
late spring.
Oh yeah, if you can do spring or fall.
We've gone in October
fantastic.
And it was phenomenal.
Fantastic. Now we also just went over Christmas last year, and yeah. It was cold.
The coldest year they had in over 20 years. It was literally 40 degrees. We were walking to Christmas dinner with parkas on. It was wild.
Yeah, it was insane. Totally unexpected. But, I mean, we got sidetracked there a little bit. But lots of... It's very family friendly.
It
if you want to go there with
friendly,
if you
yeah.
want to go there with your family, they had like right on the beach the one day they had this giant like water slide, inflatable water slide. The one,
yeah,
which
but I love
that's
that.
Not just for kids because
no.
we went on it several
times.
Full disclosure, but so plenty of that to do, but lots of cool bars.
Yeah,
if you stay in Clearwater Beach.
Food is incredible.
Food's incredible. Grouper's great. A lot of things are centrally located. So if you catch the right hotel, we stay at Frenchie's Oasis.
Yeah.
And it's like two blocks back off of the Gulf.
Yeah, you can pretty much walk everywhere.
Yeah, you don't even, like, if you just want to Uber from, we fly into Tampa. And
yeah.
if you just want to Uber to your hotel, we've done both. We've Ubered and we've
rented
a car.
Yeah.
Either way is fine. But once you're actually over on Clearwater Beach, if you don't want to leave Clearwater Beach, you really don't need the car.
No, yeah.
You can just walk to everything within 10 to 15 minutes.
One of the biggest things that Clearwater Beach is known for are the sunsets.
Oh, yeah.
Or is the sunset nature of
mm-hmm.
the place.
Beautiful.
Of course, it's on the Gulf, so
beautiful
you see
views.
All the sunsets on the west. And you go, basically what you want to do is you want to go up to a bar on top of a hotel. Is it called the Pier 60 Hotel or something?
I don't know what the hotel's called, but the bar is called Jimmy's Crow's Nest.
Yeah. So basically you can watch the sunset from up there, and because they're so high up, I mean, it's the view is phenomenal, and they hand out free shots.
Mm-hmm. Free shots at sunset.
Yeah.
So they
and they do this whole celebration.
Yeah, they ring the bell, and it's like it's... you know what they're famous for, but get there a little bit, or don't roll in there 5 minutes before sunset.
No.
Because you're not going to see anything.
Because, no, it gets crowded.
It gets full. It's popular. It's a pretty unique, and it's not just for the free shot that they're popular. I mean,
no.
the
it's
view
like
that they have.
It's a fruity little something.
Yeah, the view that they have is incredible.
Yeah.
Is incredible. That's really what people go there for.
Yeah,
so
it's gorgeous.
You know, make yourself, you know, depending on what time of year you're going, make yourself a later dinner reservation if you're in the fall or the spring. Go catch sunset and then, you know, have a drink or two and then go to dinner.
Yeah. So that's one of the biggest things to do. Of course, you've got Pier 60. They do sunset like a craft fair out on the pier.
Yeah.
So they
and
have like local vendors.
Too, some of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Local vendors selling like homemade jewelry and artwork and things like that. That's fun. But there's a couple of other restaurants that just do a fantastic job. You can't go wrong with Grouper. Blackened, fried,
oh, yeah.
grilled. There's Island Way, that restaurant back off the causeway.
Yeah, it's right before you actually get onto Clearwater Beach.
Yeah,
a little,
it's so nice.
Yeah, it's an upscale restaurant.
Yeah.
Right on the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty great. And so the Hilton Beach,
yeah.
the beach that's attached to the Hilton
yeah.
property is technically, quote unquote, the only place, so that's a private beach, and it's supposedly the only place on Clearwater Beach where you're allowed to have alcohol on
right.
the beach.
They
so
actually
like,
have a drink cart rolling by.
Oh, yeah.
That makes drinks for you. We do take advantage of that each
yeah.
time we go.
They're not cheap.
No.
So you pay for that convenience, but Hilton also has a beach bar
yeah.
that's off of the back of their property.
And you
so
can rent chairs and umbrellas, too. It's important to
you
remember
can,
that.
You can. That can be a little expensive, too,
yeah.
actually. But
you can just go back a block to Surf Style and go buy a couple beach chairs and an umbrella and leave it wherever you are. It could be cheaper depending
yeah.
on how long you're staying.
A lot of the hotels, especially the little, there's a few mom and pop hotels on
yeah.
Clearwater Beach yet. It hasn't completely been taken over by large hotels. I think that's one of the allures of it.
Definitely.
So a lot of those will have like beach chairs and umbrellas and stuff like that for you to use. I don't necessarily like using stuff that other people have used before. So
Is that the germaphobe in you coming out?
I don't know. I mean, it just, It's not necessarily the fact that somebody else has used it. It's just, it's like, most of the time, it's just like thrown over in the corner.
Yeah.
And
no,
it's like, eh, okay, I'm not sure about it. I mean, it's a cool gesture and a great idea. I just don't think it's executed very well for most times.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So those are some of the highlights from Clearwater Beach. And I think then we'll roll into the last, but certainly not least, destination to go without kids is...
This one's probably really without kids.
Oh, for sure.
It's going to be tough.
I don't see a reason why you should bring...
It's going to be tough to do this one with.
Yeah.
To do it well, anyway.
This is wine country in California. I'm talking Sonoma, Napa, those places. You know, why do you go there? You go there to relax and taste wine. You know, there's so many different wineries and vineyards and farms, and there's so much now. Look, we haven't actually been there in about 10 years, but I remember so vividly from when we went. I mean, it was just winery after winery.
Oh, my God. I mean, by 11 o'clock, I was sleeping in the car trying to sleep it off till we got to the next
one. That's not called sleeping. That's called passing out.
Whatever you want to call it. I was trying to get ready for the next winery that was showing up. But whatever you do, eat well. Eat a good breakfast because you need something. I mean, because it doesn't seem like a lot. Well, you're wine tasting, right? Pour a little... Yeah, pour just a little bit, and it doesn't seem like a lot.
Sneaks up on you.
Right, until you, and it's also one of the reasons they give you crackers and cheese and things like that, but it adds up.
Yeah.
It really adds up, and next thing you know, you get up and you're struggling to get back to the car. Hopefully you're not driving.
No, and that brings me to another point. There's so many car services. I know, obviously, Uber is, 10 years ago, we didn't have Uber out there. We just... had a car, we had a designated driver, but now you can get services, companies that will just take you around to different wineries.
Oh, you can
trails.
You can hire them all day. Just they'll take you from winery to winery.
So two biggest things that we have to say about that: eat and get a driver.
Yeah, and eating is, I mean, honestly, breakfast is super, super important if you're in Napa or in Sonoma and you're wine tasting, you're doing it all day. Yeah. Just eat a good breakfast. Get that good base in your stomach.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna need it.
Okay, so favorite wineries?
Oh, wow. I mean, you know, honestly, the very first one we went to and we were there just sticks into my head.
We literally got off the plane, got in the car, and went directly to our first winery.
And disclosure here, so Nell's dad spent a lot of time working in California.
Yeah.
At one time.
And by a lot of time, I mean, I would drop him off at the airport on Monday mornings when I was in high school. And well, he would either get a car back on Fridays, but literally he would fly out on Monday mornings and fly back on Fridays. So Monday through Friday, he worked in California and I grew up in Maryland. So, you know, that's he spent a lot of time out there.
And he became quite the wine collector.
Mm-hmm.
And that taught both of us a lot about wine.
Yeah.
And he was along for that trip. He set the trip up, actually.
Yeah.
And so he knew where to go. He was a member of a lot of the wineries, which also helps your experience.
It does.
It's not necessary, but it gives you, you know, some perks at different wineries. But the very first place we went to, we got off the plane, was Visa Tui.
Yeah.
And
it's not a well-known winery because I don't think they sell commercially. Like,
you can't find them in like liquor stores in PA and things like that. I've never seen them just in a store to buy.
No, it's a pretty independent.
Yeah. But winery. it was great because we got there, they have this little like deli, so to speak. So we got a sandwich. We all got like sandwiches, and we got a bottle or two of their red wine, their family red. It's pretty inexpensive and really fantastic. And we just went out onto like into their like pasture, for lack of a better word.
Courtyard.
And like picnic tables, and you just sit there and literally looking at the most beautiful countryside, eating these freshly made sandwiches, drinking this wine.
Do you remember that Zinfandel? Not a white, by the way. The Howell Mountain Zinfandel.
Yeah.
It was so the vineyards, the volcanic soil is what gives it this like smoky
note.
It was so good. I can still taste it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they. I have to look into that. See if they
or
even,
not volcanic. It's not volcanic.
See if they still.
You know, what am I thinking of? The fires. There was a Howl Mountain. There was a fire on the mountain, and the soil. I mean, absorbs the smoke.
You'd be editing this.
Yeah. It's been a long day.
But yeah, I mean, it was really good. The smoke came through in the wine, and you would never expect it.
No.
It's like, it was, like, it like hits you in the face. It's like, really?
Yeah. But it was just fantastic. And since then, I've never tasted anything like it.
No.
There's only one other wine in the history of me drinking wine where the taste has resonated with me, and that was a wine that I had in Boston. It tasted like, it was a Merlot, but there were these deep vanilla undertones. It was kind of crazy, but this Visatui Howl Mountain Zin was just awesome.
Yeah, it was very good. So yeah, Visatui sticks in my head. That was, like you said, right off the plane.
Yeah,
right to the winery.
Yeah,
I know you really liked Imagery.
My favorite was Imagery. It was I don't know. The winery itself was just very, when I say underwhelming, that's not a criticism.
Mm-mm.
It was not overwhelming, because some of these wineries are so extravagant and there's a lot going on. This winery just kind of felt a little like home. It was very welcoming. It wasn't overly done in any way or fashion. And I think the coolest part about it is that each of the labels for their wines was created by local artists.
Yeah, so they're all very different, the labels. It's not, they don't have a standard.
No,
you know,
they have
a logo, but they don't have a standard label. It's all created by artists. But, I mean, and their sister winery, Benzinger.
Yes.
That was
cool, too.
That left the most lasting impression to me because they have a cave. That they store their wine in the barrels in the cave because the cave is naturally temperature controlled.
Right.
So we like toured through the cave.
We did a tasting in the cave.
Directly out of the barrel.
Yeah.
So they use like a turkey baster and, you know.
Yeah.
And then they have a room in there that they built with these two giant glass doors and a table that was removed from the original house that was on the winery,
mm-hmm.
that the original owners used to like cook for the people that were working on the winery. Everybody would come in at lunch,
mm-hmm.
and they'd sit around this table. So they outgrew that at some point.
Yeah.
But they moved this table into the cave, and they had this tasting room in the cave, and you sit around this table and taste there too.
Yeah.
So man, did they do a good job.
That was really cool. They're also organic.
They are.
And I don't know if they're biodynamic. I don't know if that was a thing back then, but they might be by now. I have no idea. But
Impressive winery, the way they had everything set up. And that cave was that unique.
All right. So we've gone through our top four destinations to visit without kids. St. Martin, Breathless Resort in Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, Clearwater Beach, and the wine country of California, Napa Valley, Sonoma.
It was a tough decision because we've been to a bunch of other places that were totally, totally awesome. And maybe we'll talk about those in a future episode.
Yeah.
But those are the ones that have really stuck with us.
Absolutely. So that is, that's where we're going to wrap it up, I believe, for this one, folks. And,
yeah, I think we're going to call it a day. It was truly just the two of us for this episode.
Yeah.
We will have a guest or guests for the next episode.
Yes, we will.
We haven't hammered that down yet, but we have a list of people that would like to be on, so we just have to coordinate schedules and times and things like that.
Yeah. Thank you to all of you listening and those that have made it this far. We really appreciate it. Be sure to check out our vlog on our YouTube channel, Kenny and Nell. So just search Kenny and Nell and is spelled out. So make sure you like videos and you subscribe to the channel. That really helps.
Yes, of course. And we sincerely appreciate, if you're still listening from the beginning of our podcast or the beginning of when we started or the beginning of this one, whatever, however you want to call it, we sincerely appreciate it because this is something that Nell has wanted to do for a while.
Yeah.
I was resistant to a little bit because I'm like, I don't know. But it's kind of fun sitting here doing this and you just chatting it up and saying kind of whatever comes into your mind. It's not really scripted. You know, you kind of have a plan, but it's not scripted.
Right.
And it's fun. And the fact that anybody actually listens to us just ramble on sometimes is pretty awesome, and we sincerely appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, now that we've rambled so much about this travel tonight, I... My motivation to get up and go to work tomorrow is severely less than it even was. So
usually
I just want to go somewhere now.
Yeah, absolutely. Soon enough.
Yeah. So, all right. This is truly where we're going to end it. And so thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for the next episode next month, which will be August. And yeah. So thanks again for listening.
We'll catch you next month.